unfiltered opinion.
Sometimes you have ideas and you're not quite sure why.
As you secure the bag.
Sometimes you meet people and realize there's probably a reason why you stayed in touch.
Just listen.
Sometimes all the pieces just come together by themselves.
Woo! I'm Jimmy Mayaha.
I'm Nicolette Mashile.
And I'm Simon Brown.
Welcome to Insider Exchange.
Welcome to another episode of Insider Exchange. We're back at it, and I'm happy to have Simon back because he's finally gotten back from his holiday. How was the beach?
The beach is excellent. I mean, it beaches. You know, the surf was terrible because it was just flat, but that's fine. So basically, you're deciding, am I going to lie on the beach or swim in the ocean, or maybe I'll go have a bunny chow? I got to say, Durban, there are no such things as bad bunny chows. They're great. They're brilliant. They're awesome. They're excellent. There are no poor bunny chows in Durban. It was lacquer, but a week, man. Too short. You know what the most fun was? I never looked at the market the whole week. The weekend, I get back, I start looking through stuff. Like ShopRite, I look at the numbers. Yeah. You look at the intra-week price action. It's like, the thing is bankrupt. It's going here. It's like, why don't we all just spend an hour on a Sunday evening? Like, oh, okay, that's cool. We can come back next week.
That's it, right?
Yeah. But ignore, I recommend holiday
stuff, yeah.
Recommend beaches. Recommend bunny chows.
Recommend holidays, beaches, and bunny chows. Let's move on to market matters. Might as well get straight into it. While you were away, there was a lot that took place. And as you came back, even more happened.
Yeah.
Anglo-American, so Anglo-Platinum.
There's two Anglos. Let's start with Anglo-Gold Ashanti. So they bought a tier one, I don't know what that means, gold mine in Egypt.
Yes.
They're paying, what, $2.5 billion, blah, blah, blah. And truthfully, so they're using mostly script. So they're going to increase the script in issue by about 16%. And this new mine brings about 16% production to the party. So net, that's all fine. It's also an all-in sustained cost of below $1,200. Anglo's closer to $1,450. So it pulls down the group all-in sustained cost, fine. But what hit me was the line in the statement that says, and this, what, something, our very strong balance sheet. Well, if you've got a very strong balance sheet, why don't you use it to buy cash? Why shares? Because you've given away 16% of the company forever and a day. I hate share-backed transactions because it's a perpetual loo on every cent of profit forever and a day. And I know what they're saying. Who knows what gold will do, etc. But this isn't a ramp up. This is a mine in production, for 450,000 ounces a year at a 1,200 all-in sustained cost. Pay cash.
Especially if the current gold price is twice as high as your all-in sustained cost. It's a no-brainer of a deal.
Plus some.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
This is, I laugh as you say this because this got you so upset in the week that you had me on the show at 6 o'clock in the morning talking about it. You're like, how do they do this?
I'm an Anglo-Gold Ashanti shareholder. And it was that line which says we have a brilliant balance sheet and this protects it. It's like, guys, you are printing cash.
Use it.
Yes.
which is weird because within the same Anglo stable, within the exact same Anglo Platinum,
so they're no longer related,
the Anglo American, but the Anglo American family, right? Where you'd think efficiencies or best practice decisions make sense, they would share the sort of information. Amplats comes out, does a accelerated book build and raises 7.2 billion rand in cash, which is the cash you could have used, or you could have done something similar from an Ashanti point of view if you're looking for quick cash. Clearly the market is happy with your product and with your share as a business.
Actually, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. It's, yeah, 100%.
It happened in the same week. It didn't happen 5 months apart.
So the accelerated book build was Tuesday, and I think the Anglo-Gold Ashanti was Monday.
24 hours apart, exactly. One was 5.3% of the Amplats shareholding that Anglo-American holds, generated 7.2 billion rand in cash. Clearly the market loved that. And by that, obviously, and that's a PGM, right? So that,
I know, that's a PGM.
Those have been hard to sell recently.
But yeah, so let's talk around that Anglo Platinum. So they sold off, I mean, they want to get rid of their stake, which is 78-odd%. They sold 5.3%. They got some money. They sold it at, what, 515? All very nice, except they've got 73% to still go. If you think that PGMs are the best thing since bunny chow, do not buy Anglo Platinum American, because that is an overhang like I have never seen in my life. The market just knows that 73% of shares are coming to market. Now, is it going to be accelerated book builds? So they've got a 90-day lockup, but maybe. They're going to list Anglo Platinum in London, so there's definitely going to be some unbundling. That stock is going to be under pressure for 2 to 3 years, just because of this excess volume of stock coming to market, unless they can find someone to take like a 30% slug.
Which for me was another thing as well, was I spoke to an analyst around this as well from one of the other asset managers, was if your point around or declining the BHP offer was to say we can unbundle our business better and unlock more value. You've done the exact opposite here. Well, because aren't you creating somewhat of potentially a value vacuum where people, as you say, know the stock's going to be under pressure and are going to say, well, we're not going to pay you what you want for it.
And I mean, I think, I mean, 515, let's take out the pandemic lows, is like the lowest. I've got to start zooming this chart out. I think it was Corin Richards on Twitter who said, have they called the absolute bottom of the market and sold a slug of 5.3. Now, look, they've got 73 to go, so it's neither here nor there. But it, like, guys, really, 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 really. I mean, it just, yeah, I appreciate they want to get rid of it. Remember when Anglo American wanted to sell Kumba Iron Ore? Because it was a 40 Rand share. Then it was a 600 Rand share. Then they're like, love you, love you.
And now, even at 340 Rand a share, still better than the 40 Rand a share they thought it was.
Yeah. Now, I mean, maybe they're right about PGMs. My long-term view on PGMs is not massively bullish. Short and medium is fine, but I don't know. I just, yeah, you might love PGM. Fine. There's a, you know, the metals are up a whole bunch in the last 2 days. Sure, they were above 200 week moving averages. Yeah, whatevs. Don't buy Anglo Platinum.
Unless.
Yeah.
Unless you're China and you're taking that 30% stake because you're getting it at a ridiculous discount. You're going to put that back into your own ecosystem, which now means that Chinese companies importing platinum, I would take it off Anglo's hands at a bargain. For me, it's a steal, right? Because I know what I'm going to do with the platinum.
140 billion market cap, which is in dollars, is call it 8 billion. Put a premium.
12 billion?
12 billion.
50% premium?
Take the 73%, offer to minorities.
That's it.
China used to do this. I remember back in the aughts and stuff, they would come in, they bought a copper mine in South Africa. They just like, we need copper. Cool. Buy it. The whole mine.
That's
Forget
it.
Making a contract. Just buy it.
Right.
Met it.
We'll figure out the rest of it later. Now, if you're China, you're not worried about valuation so much because what the last 6 months
of
supply and what the last 6 months have shown the world is that if there is no demand from China, PGMs suffer. Now, if you're going to internalize that and bring that in-house, you're reducing your costs for yourselves. Anglo is going to be more than happy to get rid of that, and you make them terrible offer. I mean, even the book build was what, 515 Rand?
Yeah.
Even if you go in at 450 Rand for all of it and you say you undercut the value,
Anglo would take the cash, right? Because
that's
they're going to have to unbundle most of
anyway,
this, which means you throw it away.
Precisely.
China, hey?
So China could still be something else.
I met a young Chinese guy staying with my sister in Durban. I should give him a ring. He might have contacts.
There we go. We've just structured a deal.
Can we get a fee?
There we go.
That's what I want.
It broke first on Insider Exchange. We will take our referral fees and our structuring fees. China's not afraid to do these brave things. Speaking of brave things, US markets have, or actually US data rather, we've circled through it for the last, I don't know how many weeks, I'm getting exhausted of it, but this week we got CPI data and PPI data, everything bang in line with expectations, and then the markets just lost their minds.
Well, and then they found their minds a bit.
Yeah, no, they found it 24 hours later, but initially markets were like, no! Why? Why the drama?
I think US markets are drunk. why the drama? I mean, the rate cut for Wednesday is so baked in, 25 points. As we said before we came on air, we are so tired of this rate cut talk story. But nonetheless. So
which happens next week, hopefully.
Yes, yes. 8:30 our time, or announcement 8, press conference 8:30 on Wednesday nighttime. The CPI, 2.5. I mean, bang, you couldn't have asked for more. Now, you can go and dig around some of the nuances of it, and undoubtedly the Fed will. But Jerome Powell at Jackson Hole, two odd weeks ago, said the time has come for a change in policy position. Ooh. That's all that matters. Rates, we're now in a rate cutting cycle. It hasn't started, but it will have by this time next week. It is coming as sure as anything, and it's time to get it on the road.
It's a matter of when, not a matter of if, because at some point it was a matter of if.
Yeah, agreed. I'm not even sure it's a matter of when. I think it's Wednesday. I don't even think it's a matter of how much. I mean, it's just like, dude, just
we're
like,
here. We're in it now. We'll just keep it moving.
Send the memo, man. Just send the memo. So markets are just generally sketchish. I mean, US markets are not cheap. European data remains terrible. China is not coming to the party, etc., etc. Valuations are stretched. What's the Mag 7 valuation is 40 PE. The 493 is a 16 PE. I mean, there's some juicy valuations out there, but this market is just like spooked. And I'm like, guys, like, wow. I mean, Petri would tell you that rate cuts is the end of the world and everything's going to Helena
handbasket. He said that yesterday. I spoke to him yesterday. Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
No, and he'll bring in five or six conspiracy theories around the dollar and all the other sort of stuff. Well and good.
Yeah.
But for now, markets are going up and we shouldn't stress.
I think you know markets are spooked when South African markets are the gems of all of the markets.
Hey, our currency is the third best EM this year.
That's
our
it.
Our bonds are the top EM bonds in the world.
There was a bond auction that we held this week that there were bids in excess of 19 billion rand. We only had 3 billion available for sale. We had 3.75 to be exact. So less than 4 billion available for sale. Bids at 19 billion. Literally, the investor community can't get into our bonds quick enough.
I'm looking at the 5-year. Ahead of the election, 9.5% yield. Now, 850 points in a bond market in 5 months is insane.
And the interesting fact about the bonds is 16.7% return in US dollar terms to the market. So if you're an investor, you're sitting there saying the world is going up in smoke and here's this little thing at the bottom of Africa doing a smooth and peaceful transition, having electricity, and suddenly our markets look like gems. But this is what we've spoken about. This is the conversation we had about around the value of SA companies being able to consistently perform under pressure.
A decade of pressure. There was not just a little year or two of pandemic or something, like a decade of tough times.
There's a stat that says the average interest rate in South Africa over the last, I think from 1950 to 2024, has averaged around 11.5 or 11.6%. We're currently at 11%. This is basically operating at the norm for our company. So when interest rates start to come down and people start to see what our companies truly are worth and are, I suppose that's why markets are flooding into South Africa. You're saying everything else around the world does not make sense, but that little place over there seemingly does.
And when the interest rates start coming down, expect to see, I think, a spate of delistings. Look for stocks with strong cash flow, with big balance sheets, with strong cash flow so they can fund the purchase of the stock. I'm assuming management buyouts. Mm-hmm. So that they can take the dividends and essentially, you know, if you can get a loan at 7% on a stock that's paying a 10-11% dividend yield, you're cash flow positive from day one.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So that's...
And there are companies out there who meet that criteria. I did a search on it. I mean, I did just a search throughout property stocks, and I think I also want to discount to NAV because, hey, let's really...
Why not?
There were 25 stocks that popped up, all under 5 billion.
Okay. So we're going to definitely have a conversation with Anthony Clark, I think, at some point around the small to medium caps because he loves that. He's got a crazy idea about building
a
fund.
Anthony, come to Joburg.
Yes, Anthony, let us know when you're in Joburg. We'll set it up. But yes, markets are doing their own thing. Nothing makes sense, but everything is good, which is weird.
So the good part is a little bit weird. What bothers me more is that we're good and the rest of the world, like when your investment destination of universe is South Africa, I worry about the other investment destinations and then I worry about them wobbling and we're not going to survive a wobble of everyone. I mean, just my fear is that everything's going great and then we get recession in the US or in Europe and suddenly it's all like, meow.
So I look at it from a different perspective and it's a perspective you gave me is to say, if that does happen and the rest of the world goes into a recession and you projected South Africa to grow at 3% over the next year, then we suddenly look like the new China with none of the communist tendencies in terms of the decision making and therefore we're the attractive destination.
And we're golden. And the point is that, you know, I'm worried, that's sort of worries over the next 12 months. I mean, forget that. Let's look out over the next 5 or 10 years. You know, if I were allocating money, I suppose, which I am, my money, but anyway, I mean, I'm buying South Africa stuff. Hand over fist. Have been all year.
That's it.
And my small returns are like 30% year to date.
And you extrapolate those kinds of returns into a global ecosystem that has been desperate for returns because returns got squashed by the pandemic. They got squashed by interest rates. For the last 3, 4, 5 years, asset managers, hedge funds have been struggling to just meet benchmarks to a certain extent.
Yeah, to own NVIDIA.
Exactly, right? So South Africa becomes the new NVIDIA, and that's where we're going to leave Market Matters this week.